nationwide. We bring you latest current issues, discussions and information. Nationwide on Radio Miraya.
Hello and good evening to you listening to Nationwide. My name is Sunny Martin. We are coming to you live from Juba. And today we are going to be looking at the initiative by the Executive Director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, SEPO, who have been meeting the political leaders in this country, beginning from the president to the first vice president and to the vice president, and the list goes on. So what has prompted the SEPO executive director Edmond Yakani to be meeting the leaders of this country? What are his major concerns? That's what we are going to be discussing with Edmond Yakani this evening. And our lines will be open to you, where you can call us and talk to us about whatever you'll be hearing. 0912062079 or 0912062950, or you can send us your comment to our SMS number 0912177141. Good evening, Edmond Yakani, and welcome once again to Radio Miraya.
Good evening, Sunny Martin, to listeners of Miraya FM.
Yes, you have been meeting the leaders of this country, beginning from the president, Salva Kiir Mayardit. You met him, and you have met the first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar Teny. And you also met the vice president for physical infrastructure, Taban Deng Gai. And what has prompted you to begin meeting these leaders with just 10 months to the conduct of election?
Thank you. The whole trigger is preparation for the elections. Of course, as you're aware, the country is having a looming elections coming. And there were serious concerns that are linked to the preparation for the elections. And Sun, if you can remember, I think less than 2 weeks you intervened here about our first election domestic observation report. Mm-hmm. And one of it I've told you is that I'm going to share with the leadership of the country, and we must reach certain consensus on the preparation for the election, because election is essential, is the end game of the River Talaiz peace agreement. So I'm sharing the concerns that were there in our first domestic observation report. As you are aware, that in the next 1 week, we will be having a second domestic election observation report. So our idea is that the report should not end up only as a paper on our hands. We must use it for mobilizing the political leaders for political decisions. So the ultimate goal is to nurture a spirit for inclusive political parties dialogue, to make decisions that peg down or nail down what is called conducive environment for the conduct of the election in a democratic manner, in a peaceful manner.
Okay. You already met the president. What did you discuss with him?
Of course, I discussed with the president the preparation for the elections. And of course, the principle is that elections have to be conducted. But we can't conduct elections if we don't have a conducive environment for that election. So we focus much of our time on discussing what defines a conducive environment for elections. So with his excellency.
So what defines it?
For example, unification of the forces is very important. Having a constitution that citizens believe that this constitution reflects us is very important. Having an open civic and political space without any form of restriction for any actor. So the space will be inclusive for everybody. If there's a campaign under the tree, all of us go to campaign under the tree. If it's a campaign everywhere, travel across the country, travel without restriction. And then national financing of the electoral process. Remember, the electoral process is not only the elections. The electoral process is connected with the Constitutional Review Commission, is connected with the political parties registration. So adequate financing of the National Election Commission, National Constitutional Review Commission, political parties council, so that they can create things that are required to create an environment for the elections. That's some of the things we discussed. But also we discussed the issue of the communal violence that are going on. They are deadly in nature. And you have seen what's happening now in Abia. You have seen what's happening in Unity, what's happening in Kajukeji. So, and even what's happening in Jongole, area of Duke, there's a lot of incidents going on. So we discuss all those, because you need to bring a solution, or you need to get a solution for those issues in order for you to create a conducive environment for the world, for the conduct of the election. The question of IDPs and refugees, the question of population census. These are all things. It is a compromise. So all what I'm aiming at is that mobilize them, let them go for an inclusive political parties dialogue, and make some political decisions before the end of the 10 months. Because timeline that are required for the election is running out on every second. Not every day, not every minute, not every hour, but every second. We are losing time for the conduct of the election. So there's a necessity for them to urgently move and act on some of these issues that I've raised.
How will you describe your meeting with the president?
I'll describe it constructive. I will describe it as a space of arguing with a responsible person who demonstrated a sense of, okay, I will take responsibility. So it's constructive, it's encouraging.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel after a meeting? Based on what you presented, do you think they may be implemented? Because so many meetings have been conducted in this country, but very little have been achieved.
It depends on how much His Excellency President will hold his subordinates accountable.
Were there promises made?
Let me tell
based
you.
Based on what you
raised. Want to discuss the promise that we are going to hold credible, fair, peaceful, non-violent elections. Those are the promises that will be made. Mm. But of course, those promises are not depending on the statement of His Excellency President. It required the subordinates to take that statement further. And yeah. One thing is I discussed is the question of His Excellency, once he said something, he is saying it as a symbol of the nation. His subordinates need to take up that. And I think that's the lengthy discussion we discussed, is that we're going to go for election, but free, fair, peaceful and credible. But also, we can't go for this free, fair, peaceful and credible if we undermine the preconditions that are required by the provisional agreement to deliver the election. And of course, you know, the preconditions, you said there are many, but I think there's areas that we can compromise, there's areas we can't compromise. And some of these are all the things I've shared with His Excellency First Vice President to understand really the position of her, of His Excellency First Vice President on the preconditions. So
what is his position? That was going to be my next question. After meeting the president, you came back and you met the First Vice President, and from your photos with His Excellency the First Vice President, you are smiling, all of you are smiling. So what is his response based on what you discussed with him? I'm sure always the SPLM-IO have a lot of preconditions. This must be done. This must be done. Election is not an event. It is a process. We have heard this from many of the cadres.
Obviously, as an activist, is that what you need to do is that you need to consider opinion of every actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a legitimate opinion that you can't ignore, and you can't say there is a negativity towards that. We discussed with His Excellency First Vice President. First, we have reached consensus. Elections is necessary. Elections is the end game of the revitalized peace agreement. Then the question of the preconditions. How do we go about with the preconditions? And discuss on the preconditions with His Excellency Vice President is focusing on the time remaining. What is realistic with the preconditions and what is not realistic, and what is realistic, what is required to turn that realistic position into reality, into a results, and what is not realistic, what type of decision need to be made to go over it. So the whole center of discussion is that, one, we need political commitment and adequate allocation of resources, because
are the realistic one.
Exactly. And this is something that I mentioned several times, that we can't wait for time. What we need now is money. Put the money into the institutions that have responsibility for creating for you conditioned environment.
Let me take you back. Did the president promise to put money to these
exactly.
three bodies?
Yes. Yes.
When?
Very clear. They made it very clear. I wish the Council of Ministers, which passed last Friday, if it wasn't the visit of the foreign minister of German, they could have met and the budget would have been a priority. And which we are expecting this coming Friday, budget is going to be a priority. And remember, under the past budget for the financial year 2023-2024, there are operational money, which I think, as by the knowledge I have right now, there's a directive already for this money to be channeled to the institution. These are arrears of rent which are not paid for quite a number of years.
Yeah.
These are money to go with questions of purchasing equipments in the offices. So what you call establishment budget is already been directed that should go to this institution. What we are after and what I really push is that with the leadership, you can make these decisions, but you may have some institutions like Ministry of Finance may need 3 months follow-up.
Yeah.
So it's a high time that things have to go. It has time to go. So those are the discussions that, yes, you have said things. We have had, for example, they have accepted to have $100 million for development under the agreement. Have we got some of them? No. So what is that? It means we need to see a proper also demonstration of responsibility from institutions that are responsible for channeling the funding to these three institutions. Because, let me tell you, by February, if we don't have a clear
this coming one, next tomorrow,
which is next tomorrow, if it end, electoral calendar is not declared. If it end, the National Constitutional Review Commission have no proper plan of how the constitution making process need. And if we don't correlate the time of the National Election Commission planning for the election and the Constitutional Review Commission planning for the constitution, we have three events. Political parties have a good work if they are financed. Their work is short. For political parties council, if you put the money, let the parties come and register. Of course, it's now a primary responsibility of the parties to mobilize their members to put their papers in an order. But these two institutions, the National Election Commission and the National Constitutional Review Commission, have the primary responsibility to provide the technical guide for the conduct of the election. It's no longer the presidency, it's no longer anything. What we need from the presidency and the political parties is consensus that this technical framework that were given to us by National Election Commission and by the Constitutional Review Commission, we are going to go with it. That's what is required. So, if we don't have money in these institutions, if I give you a date, by the 10th of February, if this institution have not received money in the accounts, the pathway is going to be challenging. Because at least before we go to meet February, early February, this institution are done with their establishment costs. And if money is there, it's very easy to run the establishment cost. Then, from the establishment cost, they need to be given money to build up all this technical framework in terms of timeline that is required, at least by February. Why? Because March, we are having the renewal of UNMIS mandate. If they want the UNMIS mandate to have an attention on the electoral process, then they need to make concrete actions, not statements, concrete practical actions in the months of February, so that at least by March, in terms of community, okay, we have seen the technical direction. This is where they're going to go. This is what we're going to make. This is one. And if they fail to do that, if the UNMIS mandate didn't take that into account, the review of the international, the event that international committee are going to sit down and make decision whether South Sudan is going for election or not going for election is in April, which is after, it means after immediately renewal of UNMIS mandate. So the content of the nature of UNMIS mandate, how it looks like, it informs the international community what decision do we need to make as South Sudan going to go to election. So securing the mandate of UNMIS, taking into account the preparation for the electoral and electoral support, it contributes so much in informing international position in making their decisions in April, whether should we believe that South Sudan is going for election or not. Even if you say we'll ignore that decision. But the question is, elections require standards that are global standard. There's nothing called South Sudan standard. Or these are human standard for elections. That okay. So for me, that required, and that's why I have to make sure that before they meet February, I've run up the vice presidents and really engage them to make that decision.
So right now you also made the vice president Abandengai. Who next are you going to meet?
Of course, my next in the calendar, I'm going to see Her Excellency, Vice President Mama Rebecca Nyandeng, who is the chairperson of Gender and Youth Cluster. The next will be His Excellency Vice President Abdulbagi Ayi, who is a chairperson of Service Cluster. Then I will end up with Economic Cluster. The reason why I'm going to end up with Economic Cluster, it's a money. It's also a cluster of 10 million for water tanks. So we need to finish up there.
So you have decided to gather all the information and say, okay, the money required is here. Please, can you push for the money?
And actually, if I have good attention, I will tell the economic cluster, can we stop the water tanks? Because I've already seen water pipes close to J1. You know, I don't know if you see it. They affect water pipes. So what does that water pipes mean? And can we put the 10 million down? Because one of the things I like to be honest is that I got few pressures coming from some members of the cluster calling me like, why do you say this thing? Oh, because we want to reduce the price of the water barrel in Juba.
To £300.
Yeah. The factors that have raised the price of the water barrel is not more water tanks. It is reduction of the abnormal taxes on the water tanks. I don't know if you realize, we have now seems like there's certain traffic police who are specializing on the water tanks.
Okay.
At 5 a.m., you find they are straight with the... I don't know whether they sleep with their slips. These slips are cash money. I don't know whether they give it in advance. So if we can reduce those taxes, we can have a good price.
Okay, let's focus on the bonds, not the meat now. First of all, from meeting the three, the president, the first vice president, and
vice president,
and the vice president
for infrastructure.
Okay, if you are to rate your meeting in terms of will there be election to be conducted this year, how will you sum it up? Are we going to have an election based on what you have heard from them?
I will sum up, to 60-40 percent. The 40 is if they can translate all those decisions I harvest from the meeting into reality. What are those decisions? Number one, money must be channeled to the institution because they've agreed that they're going to channel money. Number two, if the money is channeled there, number two, the rest of the soldiers that are not unified, they should be rounded up for the unification, because remember, they have already told us that food has been delivered. And this is in the media, it's no longer a secret. Food has been delivered to certain cantonment sites. That's number two. Now, my worry is that food has been delivered to the cantonment sites. You see what is happening in Bentiu. So are field commanders more superior than the central command that sent food? And why are they fighting there? Who are those leaders who triggered those violence?
Because we have the NPC, we have the JDB,
exactly,
and the JTSC.
Exactly. Why should SSPDF and IU confront themselves there? Who made them to fight? And who are those field commanders that are unable to stop and tell people, look here, our principals are there planning for elections. We should not spoil the trust of the citizens. Mm-hmm. These are spoilers of the citizen trust for elections. So this is number two, that retained the 40%. Number three, retained 20%. Are we ready to do rallies under the tree? Can other political parties go under the tree? Because this rally in the hotels, these are not rallies. These are just parties speaking to themselves. Let them get under the tree. Let them speak. Let's question them. Why is your manifesto? Why are you political party? Like this young youth party, you know, yeah, this African something. You know, let him come down. Maybe young people are the better than the old one. Maybe they have a new. So we need to have these parties out there. Registration is going on. And good enough that registration has been declared for the political parties to go for registration. There's a call about, okay, we're going for it. How much is the fees? For me, the 40%, it's the more important than the 60% mm-hmm. that we have created. That's not what I would read. But I would really, really say my worry is that from after the meetings, we may be increasing the 40s, getting up, and the 60s may
coming
drop
down.
That is my worry, because South Sudanese leaders are good in making statements,
okay,
but they are really excellent in ignoring their statements.
All right. Okay. Let me, two questions before our lines are open. What is the impact of the clashes around Abia area and then around Jonglei, you said Duk, and what happened yesterday in Ngor, that is in Rubkona County of Unity State, where there are counter accusations. The state government of Unity State, according to the Minister of Information, said the governor was going to Ngor area to organize a market, and his convoy was attacked. And then by IO. And the IO spokesperson says, no, there was an offense launched by these people. They attacked our area and all this kind of thing. What impact does it have on, first of all, the security arrangement, the preparation for conduct of election in December?
One, let me start with the Unit 1 so that I go stage by stage.
Yeah.
The Unit 1 is a clear demonstration of field commanders who are indisciplined and who actually want to shame and name their principals, that whatever you are planning, we are not comfortable with it. And specifically, if they are not disciplined. And one of my immediate call using this platform, I wish His Excellency President, First Vice President, who are in charge of these forces, should summon their field commanders, impose on them disciplinary measures, and immediately accountability must take place. Because this particular incident is very sensitive at a moment where it's contradicting the statements of our leaders. When I was meeting them, say we're not going to return back to war.
Mm-hmm.
But now their commanders are pushing the country to return back to war. And the incident in Unity, honestly, per now, I will really ask citizen to investigate and qualify who is a perpetrator. Because right now, the body that is responsible to qualify, it's not us activists, it's not anybody. But citizens have that prerogative within the agreement to qualify, name who is a perpetrator. I know citizens condemn it, but we need them to give us accurate information who is a perpetrator. Because that is increasing citizens' mistrust on the conduct of a democratic, free, fair, and peaceful elections.
Mm-hmm.
We condemn the incident. Because of this culture of where our political leaders become a target. I don't know why. Remember, the former governor of Warap was attacking a convoy, and now if the what happened in Unity is attacking a convoy, we have lost the life of deputy administrator of ABA, even the governor before Central. So for me, it's a question of, we need to have field commanders that adhere to their principles. So for me, what is in Unity, clearly, my opinion is that the field commanders have named and shamed their principles. And if the principal feel that naming and shaming is good, until let them leave them. So I wish the president should summon the field commanders right now, and they should be severely disciplined and held accountable so that it will not repeat itself. Because any incident right now among the parties of the signed regulatory agreement, it counted not positive to the elections. It's actually counted negatively. It increased citizens' mistrust. And not only that, in Kajukeji, people are going back to camp.
Mm-hmm.
Incidents happening there. So that's one of it. That's implications. And that undermines what is called, you can't go for election with two army. But the two army have started showing us that actually they don't trust each other even before the elections. That's the implications of what happened in unity.
Yeah.
Now, what happened in Abyei? What happened in Abyei, clearly, and I want to make a very straight and clear statement. It is a clash between those Nuweru Abandian allies in Abyei in the tension of the Twitch and the Ngok. So the Twitch are very far from this incident happening in Abyei. It's actually the Nuer which confronted the Ngok. Let us be transparent. Spade, spade. Clean is clean. So it is, why? Because the implementation of the President's order that the conflicting parties that were abandoned are fighting around Abyei, or between the class, between the Twitch, Mayardit, and the Ngok, the director of the President, is that the allies should leave. But what is disturbing me is why Nuer become allies for both sides. Because it seems like to be the prophet in this side is an ally, and the others inside the IDPs who are by then displaced by the floods are allies. So now the allies are supposed to, now the way how allies want to live, they become harmful.
So what can the leaders here in Juba do to contain all this sporadic tension happening around the country? Because like you said, it's having a negative impact at international level on the planning for the election, because people say, okay, look, before election this is happening. What about if we have an election, somebody loses?
And remember, when you go for election, election is an emotional political activity.
Mm-hmm.
Or even sometimes reach to the level of insulting each other. Now, if people are carrying guns in their hands, in the mood of electoral campaign, if now we're not in electoral campaign, they're shooting at each other. What about if we're in electoral campaign?
Now,
so it's going to be tense. So for me, the leadership of the country right now need to make a quick move. Quick move on what? One, round up those forces that are not unified into a unified ground. So they don't confront themselves. If they want to confront themselves, they confront themselves with the boxing there. So there should be no any more unified force. Because if you see, let me tell you, there's a positive story about the unified forces. Right now, the unified forces, where they have their base, they're interacting with the South Sudanese.
Yeah.
They take responsibility, even if they are attracted. But those who are not unified is what is happening in unity.
Okay. Now,
so for me, that's the key.
Yes, and before our lines are open, some people, also I read somewhere, some people are not happy with your move to meet the political leaders one-on-one. They are saying, why don't you, as a civil society, demand for a round table discussion where not only the presidency will be met, but you call all other stakeholders. You come as a civil society, you present your case before them, and people debate it. That's what people are calling for, not meeting one-on-one.
Let me tell you, any idea must triggered by a process. The unfortunate thing with South Sudan is that people want to rush to an end result of something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes this one-to-one is actually you try to build the spirit of acceptance of the call that they're making now. Okay? Instead of questioning, what have you discussed? Like the way you're asking me now.
Yeah.
What have you discussed? What have you gained for? So sometimes it's good. Let me tell you, Jesus didn't come to the earth alone. John the Baptist have to prepare the way.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, Jesus assumed his role. When Jesus was recruiting apostles, he have not recruited them 12 at the same time. He started recruiting some few first and started using them to get to others. I'm trying to find a way that these calls that we've been making, can we interact with our leaders and check them one-to-one? Because sometimes one-to-one, you play with people feeling, you play with emotions, you play with reality. You try to explain sometimes the suspiciousness of misinformation. And specifically where we have leaders who are surrounded by people who actually like to keep power. People just want to leave power. It's not that the leaders are the only one who like to stay in power. No. They're surrounded by individuals who want the power. They're saying, look here, no, you must remain there. You know, you're a good one. You don't move. I'll give you an example. When I was asked to become a governor of Central Equatoria, people are pushing me. Don't wait. Go to the public. Tell them you're ready. Because, you know, I declined because some of them want to be ministers. One of them will say, look here, declare, I'm your next minister of finance. So you've been pushed. So people want to eat through your presence.
Okay.
So for me, that let us be patient. Let us see the outcome. Let us whatever is coming. Even in any process, somewhere you need to start nurturing a spirit of something that you wanted to go. So, and this was what I was telling the leaders, mm-hmm. that at the end, if you, in a very constructive manner, up to now the leaders have their timeline that have extended. But my worry that if you don't make political decision now to deliver the end game of your timeline that is left, which is elections, the next is you're not going to do extension. You'll be subject to move towards technocratic government through what you call national consensus. By national consensus, it's no longer political elites. It's every constituency by saying this is the pathway we need to go to. Okay. And of course, this message is not positive to some of the leaders, but
yeah,
it is the pathway that if they fail to deliver their mandate that is secured to them by the roadmap.
Okay. 0912062079 is the number you have heard from him, Edmond Yakani, the Executive Director of Community Empowerment for Progress Organization, CEPO. He has been meeting with the political leaders, including the President, the First Vice President, and the Vice President. So far, he has met three, and you have heard from him. He will be meeting the rest in the coming days. Also, our text number is 0912177141 is our text number. We have a couple of them here coming in here, and I will be reading some of them. Hello, Redmira. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
San Martin.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Your name?
Mama Deborah Kiturita.
Okay, marhabek, Mama Deborah.
Salam leda le zul kibir kaman pi mal sidio nak. Ana murta shan zul kibir bija fi radio de a jar kulu na basu ma na kulu na kal betaba radio. Kubesar na sidio na bar bden sunu giru aku den sunu gija. Ba o kwe za chan meeting alumun ja za chan mun ba mula u mun amulo. Ba ana indu swal kede. Ana indu swal kede o kwe ma batala chan election daja ku majunu mada lekin asa ya communities lida gi katul badun gumun ya de gi shakil mabat ya jet ketir nam nas gahaba baduna chan nas gi karay badun wata election ya de gi ja asa minaga kuma kabir tana mun bamul salam ke fa chan keli community keli mun ma katul badun za sa jet kul al nan gas ma ya made asa bukun ke fa si
ya o
so albeta shukran na
okay shukran kalis yes edmon yakani.
Yes, shukra jaziran. Aratawan su alta Deborah su al mubashir. Eno entekabat jai. Womuchamata nagadin yok tulfi bad. Nasel musulin ala mustawa al juba au mustawa komi muftarat yamal sunu asan salami konfi. Ana benis bale Deborah, bad bin al mashakila, nisba tisein filmi ahago siyasin indu yet fogo. Siyasin alindu masla indu yet fogo. Fana benis bale sulta fi juba. Ye akibo ai siyasi algaid midiedu fi mashakil lasa ni konfile anu finas biga bistakda mashakil ta muchamada au tefruga au sura ben muchama au muchama tani au ben community ben community tani kasilim le sulta siyasi ana binis bale sultat fi juba labuda ya akibo siyasi na biyama alfajada da wahi desfi siyasi nemeretinen finas musakafin zol gaida tobara murtah biyakul nedif maru sunu jar fena besas magal fi hadis kila leta wal bikata wallahi mutama tanda lokal fi rujal kan chekolu bisab nas fanaza gadin sabab nas mutari akhay bom nimra talata bika fi salatin u fi bika fi shiukh ta busema sunu spiritual leaders olu wala yani ana wanta amdal kelmat kujur masa to sibbe kujur masa to sibbe kujur man kelmat kujur aksi tamam jidden laki fi nas inu rijal inu nasa musulin fi mutamat hagana alindum sultatani sultata belet kama bi gadin sahim fisunu fi wala nar bena muchamada muftaraza ya kebum fana binis pale ukuba le aizol sabib sura ben muchama o muchama tande lo akobom ben benasal musulim fi juba mashaka le bogis
okay and then there is this one from chapboard from United States. It says based on the fighting that happened yesterday in United States, are you optimistic that election may take place coming December?
Chap, thank you very much. That's why in the beginning I say unity is a hotspot that may return the country back to war, which contradicts the statements of the principals at Juba level. So if this culture continue, the what happened in unity, if this culture continue and accounted for, the chance of elections is going to be peaceful, is very, very low. And elections may go, is going to be a trigger for possible genocide if our leaders does not discipline the failed commanders. Because what disturbed me, Sani Martin? Even how much you disagree among yourselves, what do you call Kaigan? why do you, where does Sokoke gone? Even how much you disagree with His Excellency Governor. Governor is a human being. Why don't you shoot at his car? Come to his office. Confront him. Say, Your Excellency, I have a concern. 1, 2, 3. Because claiming somebody's life, and you're not claiming a normal person, you're claiming somebody on responsibility basis. When you claim that, automatically his protection team will respond to you. That will trigger violence. And even if, and let me tell you, one of the things, so I'm a bit concerned, I've been following Unity.
Mm-hmm.
This violence is preempt. Remember, there was alerts before this violence.
Yeah.
There's alerts. And even me, myself, I issue a statement. I say, those warnings that are coming from Unity, those alerts are coming from Unity, there's a likelihood Unity is going to return the country back to violence. For the last 3 weeks back before this incident, there were alerts coming.
Okay, and then this is Mose Nyang Yuan from Moniki. He says, our government is talking about election and now we are at war and also the economic crisis in the country. This is also impacting on the citizens in this country.
War will undermine citizens' trust and confidence on the election to be democratic and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Economic crisis may make some citizens compromise their votes. They may be bought. Because you know that these sales, you know, you sell out. Because these days, voters are not voting for democracy to exist. Voters are voting on if the power of my vote can bring money to my pocket.
Yeah.
Even if it's criminal, I will vote for him because I'm poor.
Okay.
So and that's why you need to respond to the economical crisis.
0912062079. Hello, Redimira. Hello.
Marhaba.
Yes, ma'am. Good afternoon. Yeah.
George Arcangelo dare min wow.
Okay, George, marhabek min wow.
Ana dar ni kelem kidele Edmond Yakani. This zool al diamond gadi sabi gadiya bi tegini Sudan. Ana gani sabi diano, ana gani havel ni gul. Saban de musulim bitana, de okuma bitana yadar kras kursi. Lakini fi kalam diano nano kashen fi ente kapati, ze dabura gadi kelem fogude. Yala ita bishufu moktamaad bitana biga gadi katolu bat. Yala asa fi daira geografia badimara fi ente kapati. Yala finas mini daira geografia dinas bide shakli kalambita udud, kalambita moya, kalambita mele, bitam, u daira geografia de badin mabu kunu fiu in the kabat. In the kabat de mad into daira geografia. Kunu fi state fi talata county, I gada wara gale daira geografia. Shukta se, lakin asa de mele kulu shakala. Iya mele ita babi shifogu zadu nas bi shakulu. Malu umma bi deke de kalambita tala, bita sakira al korojom de. Asani, it was also mele dal fiu harib de. We koroju ba gitaninde achani kevi ya mulufi mulhuza diano and kabad mungkin ba mulufi lakini hasa de watasakat asake dal korojom de ja jodo tani fi meridi jodo tani fi wawini jodo tani we ma domi ya salaya chano mafi nasa lisa dari dokolon fi maskarade lisa ma dokolon ba gasake regadin fi jwakala u ba gasake regadin fi mehlad bitam gol suruf guru fi tani ma gol suruf guru yala zede kalam de ale ndi kabade nanu motini nanu binaru fadila na ga wonu sugale ndi kabade bukun mafi lakini gadin wonu sube asa omu kan munanga mabita muktama medeni kede kaluma ni dake to hukuma zato
okay
zato u Edmond Yakani alkan mada pitofugia kede kali hawili dake te nas al murakibin ndi kabade acha ni kevu motini yako duraya jamaa kulu yom nas ga mutu naze dari na aki mudena sumunu ya usi asin bitana barifude filande ya gadamu lajade nas bitou ga mutu okuma lisa ga kali zole for kursi maski la de bamji la gadi we
okay
nas ga mutu la gadi miten
shukran okay George min wow yes yakani
I think George Sal so allo finish and work it under hijab so allo I had what they didn't you know nas ya sen be wala naru sa gadin so form fana bnisba la George del de wahid min hada falain wala na gabalta nas al kubar del nas fi riasa alwa said the raise neighbor said naib alawel wa naib alokra ulsa anam samir ben wabda de bad min rasail anana be dim be nefsa kada kun even usulub anam bitkalam amdo usulub harra jiddan min alla gam gulak dama gulu as de ka hagak alainu bugul lin wakfin ma hagda gadi wala nar fi daira geografia dagi ita chuf kef birak mayno ita arfino garba ragazal biga indu mushkila be bad mushkila mata tawarab mbata matan sajas jual wa fi mushkila ta kubrida
aye
fo awra jay o nasra fidin o kida taban jun bidio men detala nas inu zol brikis lil gabila o mujama akter min al watania zat watania taban taf min indana watania intahar min we have lost nationalism community is more stronger even I was talking to university students in a debate I was a referee of about 40 universities tribal associations are more strong in a institution of high learning than the union of the institution mechanism that bring you together, you don't like it, you need mechanism that takes you to a trap. And that's why, shuf,
harbe ma had mashakala al debora kalam fi degat kalam fi da asaka daraja fi muchamata ru gebila wahida ba ni gadi gesim banon fi section ta filan section ta filan de kula ba siyasiya.
Okay, now with just few months to election, say 11 months, others will say 10 months because we are already done with January. We are entering February. So what are your major concerns about the way this roadmap, some of the critical tasks within the implementation of the agreement, encompassing roadmap, what are your worries?
My worries are that if the political leaders of the country didn't channel all their financial priorities towards the action that create an environment for elections, this election is not going to happen the way it won. Right now, National Election Commission should be the number one spending agent for the government money. So that why? They come with the timetable. So they come with technical advice. What do you do with the army? So they come with technical advice. What exactly you want to get right now to put the issue of the to glorify the constituency, the operationalization of the law. It's not anybody. It's no longer political parties. It is the National Election Commission. The question of the constitution is no longer parties. It's no longer president. It's no longer first vice president. It is the National Constitution Review Commission. So if you don't put money there, for me, the rest, we can talk about it.
But why is money not being injected to these institutions?
The problem is people who have the decision for releasing the money, is election a priority for them? That is the question. And that's what I was asking the leaders.
So what are your recommendations?
My recommendation is that right now, government have to suspend every spending. The spending have to gear towards elections. That's for me. And this will have to be in a transparent manner. That where the government will come forward and say, we have made as leaders of this country at a various capacity, and we have declared allocation of this amount of money for creating a conditional environment for election, and this amount is already in the account of the National Election Commission. And National Election Commission will come out, citizens, we as Electoral Commission have received this amount of money for running this activity, and here is our plan.
And they are asking for $250 million.
Not at one transfer.
Mm-hmm.
You can transfer in phases. So the question is the priority.
Yeah.
But if they're talking about budget is coming and still the account is dry, zero.
Edmund, how do you expect me to give money or to fund a process where I'm going to contest and my faith is not known? I may win or I may lose unless
you believe that actually, you know, my mistrust and lack of confidence on the elections should be the factor that I subject the whole nation to be hostage. Unless you believe that principle.
Some people have argued that maybe some people are afraid of injecting money, because if money is given and people go for election, maybe somehow...
No, public opinion out there are that it is very high for over 70% of the current leaders to retain power. Very clear.
Mm-hmm.
The current leaders, it is over 70%. It's not easy for them to retain power. It's going to be challenging.
If they go for elections.
And that's why the type of the political party, and that's why my message to citizens are this. Let's not focus on the seats of the government. Let's not focus on the seat of the president, the seat of the first vice president, the speaker. No. Let's focus on how the parties are conducting themselves this time. Because otherwise, if you don't focus on the parties, the way they're going to conduct themselves, they will bring the same characters and they will impose with the community, you know, we as a community, this is the only son of ours who is educated, who is a graduate of the Cambridge University, we have no one else, and you know, if you're mistaken, this is the only person who knows, he will be blessed for you just to give the vote.
Yeah.
This time, don't give your vote for someone who will never stand in a government where position himself or herself that service delivery is a priority for my constituency members.
Okay, and we do have a couple of questions coming in here, and this one is saying the issue of civic space is one of the major concerns. What was the response when you raised it with the president?
When I raised it with the president, he told me very clear, civic space must be open, and of course I remind them also, by the way, I remind them of three decisions that were being made. One, 22nd October 2022, there were directives for state governors, for county commissioners, for chief administrators to respect open civic space for constructive dialogue. I remind them, this has been violated. The resolution of the governors forum, the sixth governors forum, the seventh governors forum have resolutions on the same issue. I remind them. But my worry was that I was challenging the leaders that when you talk of open civic and political space, does not mean that is only for you as a party. It is you to enjoy the campaign under a tree. When your counterpart comes, I want to go for campaign under a tree. So, no, you are not allowed to campaign under a tree. Can you go to a hotel room? In the hotel room, you have nobody. You interact with the citizens when you're under the tree. Even the level of, because if you're going to go for elections, one of first precondition, what do you call at a preparatory stage for elections, what do you call the pre-election stage? The first thing is citizens need to know the political parties. Do they have program or they don't have program? Do they have manifesto or they don't have manifesto? What type of manifesto do they have? What type of political party is it? And what type of political philosophy do they have? And how do they tell us the government if we voted them in? That moment, it's a first stage of an electoral process. The moment you have citizens ignorant of the political parties, and one or two takes the space on the expense of ignoring the others, the chances of citizens going to make an informed vote is going to be tough.
Mm-hmm.
And UCDRC electoral commissions are beaten just less than a month. Do you know why?
Yeah.
Voters are going to vote with an assumption that, well, my candidate is going to be Philan that day. But the details of this Philan, who is he, how is he going to contest, what is his philosophy, voters come to realize results are declared not meeting their choices, their expectations. They come to realize against now what they decided. They decided that actually because the counts that were counted, even if it's a correct count, but because I've not met my expectation, the elections were rigged.
Yeah.
Who rigged it? Electoral Commission. So the Electoral Commission office has become the target. While the problem is not electoral commission's offices, the electoral problem is that citizens are not well informed. Because citizens these years are not like the citizens of those days. The citizens of this year, automatically, they are domestic observers. Look at the referendum.
Yeah.
You see the referendum. People, even you ask, you come, the polling station open at 9, by 4 a.m., people are already in the queue.
Yeah.
People are sleeping. Now, this election, is the same thing going to happen? You tell people, like, polling station opens at 12, some people are going to eat their supper in the polling station because people want to see the impact of their votes.
Okay.
And that's why if you don't keep the parties engaged with the citizens and citizens get informed about the party philosophy, it's a recipe for triggering of violence.
And finally, are you optimistic that your effort will result into a kind of political decision that can culminate into some of the decision being reached or funding being released immediately?
I'm optimistic if the political leaders can really increase their political discipline and maturity towards the decision that they made and translate them into an action. Because for me, statements without being translated into an action, it's not beneficial. And of course, my aim is that I'm not ending here. If we finish with them, I'm going to face the religious leaders. And if we face the religious leaders, I wish the religious leaders will have a follow-up, because also in this meeting, I've been asking religious leaders to play a role.
Mm-hmm.
So religious leaders can come and engage with them. And we all come together as South Sudanese and make a genuine reasons. We can't lose the state. We can't lose a government. There's nothing called a South Sudan without a government and without a state.
Yeah.
The South Sudan, whether we like it or don't like it, it needs to have a government, it needs to have a state. But we can't have a state of South Sudan, the government of South Sudan, if we are not productive, constructive, and genuine in our discussion. If we are pro-like naming and shaming only, we can't have it. So into nature, I'm optimistic that if we change our political attitudes completely and we accept a challenge that we sit on the table without any violence, without any insult, without anything, we see where is our weaknesses. Everybody has a weakness. We acknowledge that weakness. We agree this is a pathway. We can start a new page. And we can make the South Sudan that we want. Once we change our political attitudes and political leaders increase the level of discipline and maturity, we will gain.
Edmond, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you very much.